We're keeping it local. This is your community connection on Cows 100.9. Brought to you by Community Bank Owatonna, your hometown bank.
We are at 12:08 here on a Tuesday afternoon. Cows 100.9. I'm Corey Hargith here in studio for your community connection. Brought to you by Community Bank Owatonna, and maybe getting started a couple of minutes early here today, but we've got, I think, a very important topic to cover here, focusing on, homeless needs and things like that here in our local area. So joining me in studio, I have Jelaine Mose and Greg Drager. They're with Oak Hill Community Connection, and we're going to be talking all about their new facility a little bit later here. But first of all, welcome to both of you, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Corey, for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Corey.
And so I think we just need to start out with that big question, the 10,000-foot view. What is Oak Hill Community Connection?
Great question, Corey. So Oak Hill Community Connection is not a new idea to this community. It is not a unique idea to this community. I've been in town for about 20 years, and this conversation has been happening long before I arrived. But like everything in life, it's all about timing. And so right now, our community has an opportunity to really take care of our most vulnerable and most at-risk community members. We've got the right people in position to do some serious fundraising. We've got really, really collaborative executive directors of our nonprofits, and we have a phenomenal facility. And so we're pulling things together, and we're going to put multiple entities under one roof to provide access and opportunity for our community members that need us the most. And so things to think about that people don't often know or are aware of, which is totally fine. Owatonna Public School District this last year had identified 184 students that were experiencing homelessness. Those 184 students are not only our middle schoolers and our high schoolers, they're kindergarten through 12th grade. Oftentimes I get the question of where are they if we don't see them? I've lived in Owatonna my entire life, and I've never seen a homeless person. And that's on purpose. And so our families and our individuals that are experiencing homelessness work really, really hard to stay invisible. Pride is a really big factor in that decision, as well as shame. And so people do things where they blend in. They don't call attention to themselves. We've got families and kiddos that are doubled and tripled up in houses and apartments. We've got families that are split up. We have families and students that are living in cars. That's the reality that we live in, and we have an opportunity in our community to help take care of people to relaunch them into independence and success. Another stat that we've learned this last year is our good friends over at the United Way did a study, and 33% of Steele County is considered ALICE, which is asset limited, income constrained, employed. And so think of your service industry workers. Think of our hourly rate employed community members that if you miss a paycheck, that has significant financial consequences. If you miss a day of work because you're sick, your kid is sick, then you potentially miss your utility bill, which is a domino effect into a portion of your rent, which is food, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's really kind of the whole point of really bringing this topic up, because, yes, we have people that are homeless. Again, people don't know it because it doesn't present itself the same way that it would. Say you go into your bigger metro cities, that sort of thing. But it's here. And unfortunately, it leads to that snowball effect kind of that you were just talking about.
Yep, absolutely. And so that's the reality of our community right now. And there's more people than any one of us will realize that are living on life's margins that just need a little extra TLC, a little extra support. It's potentially a one-time deal versus an ongoing deal and everything in between. And Greg is going to talk about what this facility will include. And so we can take away the barriers to access to provide more success for our community members.
Yeah, and the new facility itself, before we get too far into the details, I know a lot of people have been wondering what's happening at the old clinic. They're right by Fairway. That's where this is going to be.
That's correct, Corey. And this concept, as Jelaine mentioned, this concept of a shared facility has been talked about. Jelaine, you said you'd been in town for 20 years. I've been in town a lot longer, and I can tell you that this concept of a shared facility has been talked about for a long, long time. And as Jelaine mentioned, we've got boards and executive directors that are really at a point where they're ready to collaborate and ready to, I guess, throw in with other agencies that really serve the same slice of our community's population. The concept of a shared facility is not unique. It's being done in other communities. One good example is in Mankato, the Mankato Area Foundation has a shared facility. What's a little bit unique about what we're contemplating here is that we're going to really be focused on human service needs. And as Jolaine mentioned, there is the homeless piece, but as we've talked about this, I like to talk about there's food insecurity, there's housing insecurity, and there's medical insecurity. And rarely do people living on the margins present with just one of those items. They tend to present with multiple items. So we have agencies like Health Finders Collaborative that are going to be residing in the shared facility along with the two shelter spaces. We have Community Pathways is going to have a satellite agency there. Some of the listeners may have heard of the organization called Furnishing Hope, which is really a furniture repository for people that are starting out from scratch. They may have been evicted or they may be homeless and they're trying to transition into independent living and they need furnishings. South Central Human Relations Center, which is now called Sparrow, is going to have a piece of their housing outreach is going to be sited in the shared facility also. And really, what's really going to make this effective is the collaboration. As Jolaine mentioned, there's a reduction in barriers that a lot of these folks experience if they're sent all around town to multiple agencies, a lot of times with transportation challenges. But then the other piece of this, and I'm a retired CPA, so this is, appeals to the bean counter in me, we're not replicating administrative overhead. So we don't have to have five copy machines. We don't have to have five internet services. We don't have to have five parking lots to plow. We don't have five utility bills. And really what we're, what we're contemplating here is our hope is that we're going to reduce those overhead costs or those occupancy costs for those agencies that reside in the shared facility by about a third of what they would normally pay if they were each in their own location. So there's some financial sense to this too.
Yeah, and just having that, we'll call it a one-stop shop almost.
That's correct.
Because, like you said, people are being chased all over town right now to get the services they need. And, that maybe, could keep some people from trying to get all the help that they could be eligible for, because it's honestly a lot of work. And it maybe helps, would help keep that invisibility, I think is how you put it, because, a lot of people don't want the whole community to know what they're dealing with. And so just going to one place can maybe help them with that a little bit, too.
Well, and I'm going to quote Jolaine, but Jolaine, you always say people have one phone call in them.
That's right. Yes, they do. And sometimes if the response to that one phone call is no, that prevents them at that moment, at that time, from making another phone call, and they stay within that cycle that they're in that they can't quite break.
Yeah, the discouragement.
Correct.
Almost.
Yep.
Is, and we all see it in our own lives one way or another. And, when you hate to see that snowfall,
right,
that snowball effect get started. And maybe this is one way we can help prevent that too a little bit.
Yep, absolutely.
So I think at this point, let's go ahead and take our break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about Oak Hill Community Connections and specifically what the community can do to help get this project really off the ground here. And hopefully sooner than later, we'll talk all about that when your community connection brought to you by Community Bank Owatonna continues on Cows 100.9. And we're back with your community connection on Cows 100.9, brought to you by Community Bank Owatonna. Corey Howarth back here in studio, Jolaine Mose and Greg Drager also with us here, talking all about Oak Hill Community Connection and helping with the, I don't want to just call it the homeless issue because it's a lot more, as we talked about before the break. But one piece that we didn't get a chance to really touch on in the first segment was the housing side of this, because there's one key piece to all of this, and it's going to help keep families together, correct?
Correct, Corey. Yep. And so as I talked earlier about just kind of some of the numbers in our community of kiddos and families and individuals that are experiencing homelessness right now, the Lighthouse of Southern Minnesota does a phenomenal job with the men's program that they have. They do a phenomenal job with the women and children's program that they have. we do not have a family program in our community to serve the needs of single dads with kids. They have nowhere to go. Dual parent households have nowhere to go. It's really tricky to house single parents with, you know, 4, 5, 6 kids, which that have a variety of ages, some teenagers down to some littles. It's possible, but it's really, really hard. And so Oak Hill Community Connection is going to serve that population of community members. And so what it is, more importantly, what the shelter space at Oak Hill is not, it is not an emergency shelter. This is not at 2 a.m., middle of the night, knock on the door, everybody is let in. This is a referral-based program that's going to be run by the Lighthouse. It's background checks. It's individual case plans and requirements for everybody in the facility. And so there's educational requirements. There's mental health requirements, chemical requirements, like I said, background checks. And so our most concerning community members will not be able to stay in this building because there's going to be kids. And the reality is that 80% of the people that are sleeping there at night are going to be kids. The people that are staying there, they want to be there. It's going to align with where they're at in life. The programming that the Lighthouse does is really, really strong and very, very intentional. And so they get people that are in the right spot that is a good fit so they can relaunch back into independence.
And it's all about so they can all feel safe.
Absolutely. It's going to be a staff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's secure entrance, there's secure exits. Like, they will know who is in that building in their programming at all times.
And yes, getting back to the whole family thing, because let's be honest, that's the last thing that you want is for a family to get split up when they're already in a hardship. So that can help take one of those weights off their shoulder, maybe.
And that's oftentimes why families stay in a situation, is because they don't want to split up. And I don't blame them. If I had all that stuff going on and I was living on life's margins, the last thing I would want to do is leave my family.
So let's get into talking a little about how the community can help this all happen. It comes down in the form of fundraising, essentially. So give us an idea of kind of what you're looking for, where you're at, and how the community can help.
Well, Corey, we have been working very hard behind the scenes on with the architects on plans. Obviously, we're rehabbing a building that's been built over many, many years and added on to many, many times. The good news is that we've got a great plan, and the costs associated with that plan have really remained unchanged based on the initial construction cost estimates from a number of months ago. That's all looking very, very good. Many of the contractors that are participating in construction have come forward with in-kind contributions. So from that perspective, we initially said, Jolene, 6-8 months ago, a $4 million budget,
yep,
to purchase the building and renovate the building and get it up to, standards, safety standards. I mean, there's going to be people sleeping there. So we probably had to spend a little bit more money than if we were just, you know, creating office space. But those costs have remained relatively constant. We're feeling really good about that. The best news is that we started the quiet phase of our capital campaign probably in August, September last year. And of that $4 million, we're at about 2.85 right now. So we've got a little bit more than $1 million left to raise. We're having a ribbon cutting on Thursday morning that'll really initiate the public phase of the campaign. And that's really where the broad majority of your listeners are. We'd love to invite participation, and we'd love people to get involved in the capital campaign and in the project. We really want to make this a community-wide project.
And so how does someone that wants to donate or get involved in some other way, how do they go about doing that and get in contact with you folks at Oak Hill?
I would refer everyone to the website, which is oakhillcc.care. We're very active on all of the social media feeds, and so you can find us there. And with this quiet portion of the campaign, now as we lean into the public portion, we are highlighting some of our community partners that have already so generously given. And every dollar counts, right? And so we were very intentional with getting some of this quiet money first, and so the community isn't overwhelmed, and they know that this is a realistic possibility, because we're going to get it done. It'll be done.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's a lot of great community support already, and I would love to sit here and keep talking about this, but we do have to get moving on here. We got your Linder Farm Network Midday Farm Review on the way here at the bottom of the hour, then John Partridge will be in, taking you all the way through your afternoon here on Cows 100.9. This has been your Community Connection, brought to you by Community Bank Owatonna. I'm Corey Hargith. Have a good one.